It's good to be with you again. As you know, your pastor's in Chicago, and I'd shared with some that we received some pictures from Sister Shirley of the get together, and of course they're very happy to see their son again. I understand that. We have a daughter that lives in Jordan, Northeast Georgia, and probably won't see her again till Christmas, so because Sheila and I don't travel any longer. Last time we traveled, Sheila got awfully sick, so we don't do that anymore. But it's good to be with you. I hope that everything's going okay with you. I know within our family, we've had a lot of death. I was at a funeral last week with my brother's wife's mother passed away. And then last week, my first cousin passed away, and he got lung cancer and died. He's younger than I am, and his funeral will be this week, so we're awfully kind of taking it kind of hard. You know, sometimes those things just happen, and you can't get them off your mind, but thank goodness we got the Lord to go to. And as I came this way, I got thinking, what is it that the Lord wants me to say to help you? And the only thing I can think about is what the Bible says. I think it was that Paul said, I preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's really all we have. I guess you know that. Because of that, that's why that we can truly say, well, I can truly say that I do know and I do testify that when my life is over and I lay this body down for the last time, that I have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Because when I was 10 years old, the Lord saved my soul. You notice I said the Lord did it. I didn't accept Him. I didn't just say, oh, I'm a Christian now. But Jesus sought me out. The Bible said no man can come unto the Father but by me. He also says that I have that you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. He sought me out when I was nine. I was 9 years old when I found out, come to the conclusion by the burden that was upon my heart and what happened to me that night at True Hope Baptist Church in Springfield, that I realized I was lost without God. But thank goodness we've got one here that I'm going to tell you about. You can take us out of that. I know as we get farther down the line in history that this gospel, the way that it was set up, the way that God decided for the one that would die in our place for our sins, doesn't really go along with society any longer. They don't seem to think that this is really, you know, I hear people talk all the time, I don't believe in a virgin birth, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. The sad thing is, if for those of those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have not been saved by His grace, they're going to come to a rude awakening one day. I think of many of those that have proclaimed there was no God, or that it was a fairy tale. That this God these Christian people worship is just something that someone made up so that they could have a guideline to live by. Well, I want to tell you one thing. And if you'll look in the Word of God, I may not even do any reading this morning, but I find that Jesus Christ was one that was already decided before the foundations of the world that He would come into this world, born in a manger as a babe, grow up, and at the age of about 30 years old, start preaching, and in 3 years, He's dead. People think, well, they got, and I know by reading the history that there were those that when Jesus finally died on the cross, they thought, well, we got rid of Him. No, because the last thing that Jesus said, He says, it is finished. What's finished? Redemption of the soul. that because he died because of what happened on the cross, that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, how that he suffered for us and for you and for me, that because of that, we know salvation. I want to tell you about a time, and we may not get any preaching done today, I don't know. But I do know this, that when I was a nine-year-old boy, standing in front of True Hope Church in the old building, they're in a new building out on Republic Road. This old building was in more or less downtown, and it's kind of a rough neighborhood. But anyway, that night at 9 years old, I was up at the front end of the church, and there was an altar, what we call an altar call as Baptists. And I know that's not in the Bible, but we call it an altar call. And there was those that were seeking the Lord, and I was standing on this side of the building, just free as a bird, watching, and a lady named Gloria Bilyeu, her husband was a minister down in Polk County. She came to me, she said, "Terry, are you lost?" And when she come up there, I didn't feel lost until after I said no. A heavy burden fell upon me, something that I had never experienced. I'd heard mom and dad, different ones of the church, talk about this burden, I didn't know what a burden was, other than when dad would want me to mow the yard, it was a burden to me. You know, when I was real young, I thought, now that's pretty cool, I'm going to get to mow the yard. But after time went on, it became a burden when dad said, "Go mow the yard." I didn't want to, I was lazy. And I just didn't want to. I thought, that's too much work, I want to go play. But that night, I found out what a burden was. It came upon me that I was lost, and I was as Adam and Eve. I tried to hide myself from God. And there would be times we would go to, from the age of 9 to the age of 10, into the fall of that year, of the next year, I'm going to age myself, of 1965, I was in trouble. I had a burden upon my heart. It was something that I could not shake off. I'd even cry in school. I was in the fourth grade, and our fourth grade teacher was Mrs. Wontuck, was her name. I'll never forget her. Sweet lady. But I'd just be right in the middle of the class, and the burden would get so heavy upon me that I knew I was lost in the sight of God, and I didn't know, and I've been taught what to do about it. But for some reason, I didn't know what to do about it. Finally come down to the fall of 1965, was having revival there at True Hope Church. A guy named Junior Ingram was the evangelist, and a guy named Webb Foster was our pastor. And that man got up that night and began to preach. We were late in getting there. We sat way back in the back. Of course, that building wasn't much bigger than this one, but it seemed like it was way back in the back. And as he preached and as he talked about Jesus Christ and that he died for our sins, and he'll take that burden away, and I knew what that burden was. I began to realize that I was lost and I was undone, and I was an adult in the government of God, and I was bound for a devil's hell. That night, as I sought the Lord, I had to sit down. I couldn't stand anymore. I was weak. And I don't know too many 10-year-old boys as tall like me was weak, but I was weak that night. And I sat down and I began to seek the Lord. And I'll not get into great details, but I kept thinking I could deal with this. I don't know if any of you ever had a Western Flyer bicycle when you were kids, but I did. I got one for Christmas that past year, and I thought, "Oh Lord, if you'll save me, I'll give you that." He didn't want that bike, it's his already. Three men come by me when preacher and two preachers and a deacon come all the way back there that night, sat down behind me because we were on the second row from the back. First one come was a guy named Frank Gordon. Frank's gone on, all three of them's gone on now. Frank come back there and he put his hand on my shoulder. He was sitting behind me and he said, "Son, are you lost?" And I was crying. I was heartbroken. But that's what the Bible says to do. He saveth such that come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I was brokenhearted, but I kept trying to deal with God. Here, you can have this, you can have that. He didn't want any of that. Brother Frank said, oh, if you're lost, what you need to do is trust in the Lord. If you've been saved by the grace of God, somewhere along the line, you trusted in God. That's how you got that salvation. Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Verse 9 there in Ephesians says, not of works, lest any should boast. I was trying to work my way into heaven. Lord, here, do this, do that. Take this, take that. He didn't want it. He wanted what? He wanted me. He come down there that night. Another guy named Gene Grant. I don't know any of you know him. He's passed on. He's my dad's own cousin. He was a deacon of the church there. He come back to me behind me, sat down. Now listen to what he said. Remember the first one said, are you lost? I said, yes. He said, trust in the Lord. Brother Gene said, Terry, because I've known Gene all my life. He said, Terry, are you lost? I was crying and bubbling. And he said, yes. He said, what? Trust in the Lord. There's two of them already. Tell me what I needed to do. I didn't. Excuse me. I know the Lord had sent them men to me. He had dealt in their hearts and said, go tell Terry, I'm trying to get him to trust in me. And he has confidence in you. Gene got up and left. The last one that came was a guy named Keith Freeze. He was a little man. He's gone on too. Keith had long arms and big hands. I remember sitting back there and here he come. Like this. He sat down behind me. He said, Terry, are you lost? Well, guess what? I said, yes. I wonder what he told me. Now, I've already been told twice what I needed to do. Brother Free said, trust in the Lord. Got up and left. Well, I'm just about dumb enough. I finally registered to trust in the Lord. Don't try to hand him your toys. Don't try to hand him your truck, your cars, your home, your business, your spouse, whatever it might be, your grandchildren. Say, well, you can have them if you'll just save me. I finally come to a place where I just couldn't go any further and realize that I no longer had the ability to bargain with the Lord. I had nothing to bargain with. I had no earthly material. I had no possession. Even at 10 years old, I had nothing that I could say, here, I want to swap out salvation for this. Salvation doesn't come that way. When I finally got down to, as my dad used to say, down to business, I finally just realized there was nothing I could do. I couldn't trade my new Western Flyer bicycle, and I really liked that thing. You know, like your first car? My first car was a 72 Cougar. Baby blue white vinyl top with a 350 Cleveland head engine in it, and that thing would fly. It would. It'd get with it. End up using a quart of oil a week. I don't know. I must have been hard on it before I got rid of it. But that bicycle was very important to me. I know that sounds very trivial, but I've seen men, grown men, put things between them and God that I'm not going to give that up. I finally had to give it up. I can't deal with this. I can't do anything that I have the ability to give to Jesus, because you see, he died on the cross for me, not for my bicycle, not for my business, not for my car, not for my loved ones, but he died for me, the individual, my soul. deep down inside. That's what was lost. That's what was separated from God. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and him who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, I finally just gave up. Now, my wife would tell you, and thank goodness she's not here, because she'd say amen, but she seemed to think I'm bullheaded at times. Maybe I was that night. I wanted to do it my way. Like Frank Sinatra, you know, sung that song, Do It My Way. Elvis did too. But finally, after hearing those three men of God, two preachers and a deacon, what more do you need? And I had all confidence in the world in those three. I'd known Frank all my life. I'd known Gene all my life. And I'd known Keith all my life. So, I didn't know how to trust any. Did you? Did you know how to get saved? Did you just? No. You had to go to Jesus. When he spoke to my heart that night, I don't know how I did it. I know the Bible said that he says about our heart. He says, I'll take out your heart, your stony heart, put in a heart of flesh. What else would he do? I'll put my spirit within that flesh. I become a new creature in him when he saved me. The peace that I knew was joy unspeakable and full of glory. It was just amazing when God saved my soul and took that burden away. Well, as I sat there, I kind of come to myself. I didn't know what I'd left, but it was just, and that burden was gone. And in that old church house, it was originally a store building. Remember the old corner stores, kind of like up here? Well, it had these lights in there. And for some reason, it appeared that the lights were brighter in there after all that happened. There was a lady, and she's still living. She's just a year or two older than me. Denise Singer, the preacher, the evangelist's daughter, was right there praying. The mom, the dad, Aunt Bessie, and Uncle Bob on that bench in the back of the house. Well, peace come to my heart. Something changed. Jesus told Nicodemus, that's quite a coincidence, you must be born again. Well, you know what? I got born again. There was a change happening in me, in my soul, in my heart. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke to me, I suppose, and made that new heart and that new spirit. I turned to Mom. Denise was right here. Mom was right there. They were all down on their knees. I was sitting in the chair. I said, Mom, I think I just got saved. Mom being my mom, none of you ever knew her. She's gone now. But she's with Jesus. She asked me a question. She said, are you sure? You know what? When I told her, what a blessing I got in my heart. Why is that? Bible tells us that we need to tell it. We need to share that. And when I shared it with my mother, I felt rejoiced. I didn't get up and shout. You may have when you got saved. You may have shouted all over the house. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I didn't. I've been to services and seen people saved. You know, I've been around a while. You can tell by the gray hair. You know, the Bible says that's really a crown. You know, a lot of let's understand this, church. A lot of people don't get to live as long as we do. My cousin Bobby was only 68. I hate it that he's gone, but he's with the Lord. But anyway, that night after I was saved, and told Mama, My dad had this little car. It was called an NSU Prince. You have to look it up on the internet because they don't make them no more. Little bitty, it's littler than a Volkswagen. And I've always been kind of tall. And I would sit in that little car behind Dad, and my knees were like right here. But as we got in that little car that night, it just about couldn't hold me. Because I was so happy. Got out the street corner. On the corner of Newton and whatever that other street is there where the church was, there was a street light. And my friends, that street light seemed brighter to me. I know the city utilities hadn't turned the power up. They didn't put new bulbs in there. But something had changed in me. And as we drove home, I couldn't have been any happier. Brother Freeze's wife, Shirley, had left her purse at church. So Mom got it, called her up. We didn't have these fancy little cell phones back then. So when we got home, she called and said, you know, Shirley, I got your purse here. You left it at church. And she go, well, I wonder what I did with it. We'll come by and get it tonight. Well, here come Sister Freeze and Brother Freeze and their three kids. You know, it's really strange. Before, I never wanted to be around Brother Freeze too much because he talked about church so much. But that night, I couldn't get him out of my sight. I wanted to hear him talk about Jesus. I wanted to hear him talk about the goodness of life, the goodness of knowing the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I didn't go back there and play with Phil and Donna and Carol. And my brother Dennis, I wanted to sit there with that preacher man. Well, what had changed? Did that preacher man change? No, he didn't change. I changed. Did I change me? No, I didn't change me. I was born again of the Spirit of God, as Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You've got to have an experience of Jesus Christ. You've got to know in your heart. So when that day comes and you take your last breath, you know where your next step is. I've thought about that as I get older. I wonder what that'll be like. You ever thought about that? I'm not suicidal, I don't think. To take your last breath. My wife tells of a time when she was in the hospital and she was dying. They told me. She had coated, and I'm not going to get really gross, but she had blooded, went everywhere, and it was just really bad. And she said she got that close to dying. She said, oh, she said, Terry, what a peace that I felt, knowing that just on the other side of that blood of Jesus was heaven. I think she's a little disappointed that she didn't die. I really am, because she really was enjoying that. But last I knew, she was still with us. She was this morning when I left the house. Isn't salvation great? That I do know that if I do not make it home today, that this Jesus Christ that's in this book right here that talks about and all this red letter stuff, it's going to take me home. Take me home. I'm going to go, Lord willing, I'm going to go back to the big city of Eudora, Missouri here in a little bit. But the bottom line is that's not my home. I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm just passing through. That's why I'm telling you about Jesus, that if you don't know, or if there's somebody in your home or your house or your loved ones that don't know Jesus, let's pray for them. Well, why would I want to do that, Terry? Because the God that you're praying to, if you're praying to through Jesus Christ, He has the ability to give them new life. And the reason I know that is because I have experimental knowledge of salvation that I got when I was 10 years old. And you know, I have never lost that. I've not been a good boy. My daddy had and mama had rules growing up. I didn't always follow him, and I'd get a whooping. My dad, before he passed on, I was over at my brother's house. He was staying with my brother before he died. He said, "Boys," I was awful hard on you guys. I said, "Well, you stunted our growth." I'm 6'1", and my brother's right at 6 foot. Dad was 5'5", or something like that. He was a little bitty guy. He got shorter as he got older. I wasn't always good between me and God. Always didn't follow His will. But He loves me. He loves me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that who shall ever call upon His name? In faith believing, shall be saved. Are you glad you're saved today? I mean, really, think about that. Because you know, there's a possibility you may not make it home today. Oh, don't be so doom and gloom. No! It's not doom and gloom for me. If I don't make it back to the big city of Eudora, I'd be better off to live as Christ and die as gain. I'll be with the Lord. By the time you hear, "Oh, Brother Nicodemus had a wreck and he's dead," say, "Oh, you should have heard what he told us at church Sunday. He said, 'Do not cry for me. Do not weep.'" There'll be some people probably laugh when they hear I'm going, "Yeah, he's dead." I like the Wicked Witch of the West, you know. But don't cry. Rejoice. For another one's got to go home. When I sat there and watched my mama die, I watched the last breath go out her mouth. She tightened up. She got purple. Lips got gray. All over. She died. My youngest daughter was standing outside. Her and my nephew were outside the window. After all that took place, she come in and mom's laying there. Mom's body's laying there. She wasn't there no more. My daughter Tammy's right there. I'm right here. And I wonder, as my daughter did, she says, "Daddy, do you think that Grandma shouted all the way to heaven?" I said, "Well, if she had the ability to, yes." Because Mom was saved when she was 19. Over on Kerr Street in Springfield, laying in bed next to me because I had just got born. I watched my daddy die. Watch him take his last breath. Went over there and he quit breathing, but his heart was still beating a little bit. I called a nurse down there and I said, I think his heart's still beating, but I don't think he's breathing. He said, "No. His heart is still beating very low." So they put things on him and monitored him for 20 minutes, and then it finally stopped. I said, "You know, my dad is a Marine. Marines don't die, they just kind of fade away." And Daddy did. But he went to be with Jesus. Aren't you glad for those of you that know the Lord and the free part? I didn't read a thing. I quoted some. But those of us that know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the next life will be joyous. So I can live here now in all this mess that's going on. You know, every day you get wondering if they're going to bomb us. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? There was a shooting over at the parking lot of Mercy Hospital here a couple weeks ago. Just things like that. I don't fear death. Did you hear me? I do not fear death. I fear the pain. I'm a wimp. I'm a crybaby. But I do not fear that hour when my Savior says, "Come home. Come on home." Come see what I've made for you. And we can take that personally. I know Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also. Yes. But it's individual. Every single one of us. He died for you individually. I had a member of one of the churches I pastored several years ago said, oh, I don't believe that Jesus thinks, when he was on the cross, thought of just me. He just thought of the entire human race. No, I believe when he was on the cross, as the song goes, I was on his mind. He died for me. And he'll raise me up one day. If not, when he may come back while we're here today. You ever thought about that? What are you going to do if we're sitting here in church? And your pastor, Brother Paul, was just preaching away. And then you start to feel an earthquake. We all went outside and look, and here he come. With all his holy angels. And the souls of the saints that have died. My family on my dad's side is buried at Schofield. Schofield's over in, it's off of EE Highway in the eastern Polk County, just right out of it. You can go through the big city of Foose to get there. I'm sure you all know where Foose is. And I often thought, standing there, there's a flagpole, and then my grandparents and my parents and relatives, and it was going to be me and my brother, but we found out the plot's already, they had, somebody was already buried there and they didn't know it, so we're going to be across the deal. But ever thought when that day comes, when that day where there'll be no more night, and Jesus returns in the sky, with the souls of saints that have died, the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've often wondered if I could be standing there by that flagpole there at Schofield, see those graves open up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then us that remains shall be what? Caught up in the air to meet him. And so shall we forever be with him. Ha-ha. You ever hear that song? Do y'all sing it here? Onward, Christian soldiers. You ever heard that? Marching as to war. Yeah, we're in a warfare. But the prize is we get to be with Jesus forever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying over there. I won't die again. I won't be crying. Then I know when I heard that my cousin Bobby had passed away, I cried because it hurt. Then when we get over there, we'll cry no more. There'll be no tear ducts in those new bodies that we'll get. He says, for we shall be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And what are we going to be changed like? Be changed like him. I don't understand all of heaven. Don't know it all. I know what the Bible says. My little, as Brother Paul Bryson used to say, my little brain, 2 inches by nothing, sometimes don't understand. But aren't we glad? I'm going to hush. I don't even have my glasses on. Oh, I didn't wear my hearing aids, so I can't hear you. Nor my watch or nothing. I forgot everything. But as I close, I want us to think for just a moment. Go back to that day, that hour, when Jesus saved your soul. Any Kleenexes up here? Yeah. That hour when the peace came in. I like that song, when heaven came down and glory filled my soul. If I don't see you again on this side of eternity, if something happens to me or you, it can happen. You ain't going to worry about it. I'll be like my Aunt Lola Perdue. She was in a nursing home up in Kearney, Missouri, up by Kansas City. last time I saw her, and she a little old dried up thing. She was, her maiden name was Hayden, like my grandmother. They were all little tiny people. I mean, not very big at all. Grandma was 53 pounds before she passed away, so that shows you how little. But Aunt Lola looked at me, she said, "Terry, if I don't see you again." So Elkton Church, if I don't see you again, I'll be waiting for you to come. Isn't that joyous? I mean, isn't that... I don't want to be all wound up. I don't fake all that stuff. But I tell you, it's joyous to know that if I had hope, oh, as Paul said, if I had hope only in this life, I'd be all men most miserable. But I have a heavenly hope. I have a hope in Jesus. As I said, I've not always been a good boy. I'm sure Jesus has been disappointed in me a lot. But he's still my Savior. And I'm still going to go home to be with him one day. God bless you. I hope that your pastor makes a good journey back home. We've told you this. I've known Brother Paul and Sister Shirley. Oh, I don't know. It was the late 70s, I think, when we met them. And it was at a church function someplace. I don't know. But they're good people. And they're not perfect. But you couldn't tell me that because I think they are. But that's just me. But pray for us. Pray for us this week, if you don't mind. We've got that, my cousin's funeral. They're going to have visitation tomorrow night at Greenlawn and then in Springfield North. And then we're going to have just graveside on Tuesday, 10 o'clock. And it's going to be a sad day. But I'm going to try to rejoice to know that Bobby's with the Lord. I'm just selfish. I'm sorry, but I'm just selfish.